Thank you. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our Companion, who calls us in the power of the Holy Spirit and makes us the body of Christ. On this Sunday, we remember Jesus sending out his disciples, sending them ahead of him, without him, saying, go, teach and heal and proclaim, and giving them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. Where do we find that power to cast out the spirit of injustice and the suffering of this world? Right here, in our worship. God fills us with the Spirit that sends us out into the world, always in new ways to serve. So we worship, we open our hearts, we give thanks and praise, so that all our days we might serve God with joy.
God of love and grace, you have created us in love and beauty, and we praise you. Jesus Christ, you have walked with us in the journey of faith, and we thank you. Holy Spirit, you fill us with the power of your love. We open ourselves to be filled with your grace. We worship you. Alleluia.
I rejoice the day you were baptized.
Okay, Tanner, Ali, Maggie, Ben, Owen, Zeke, Tristan, Charlotte, Micah, Danny, come on in here, Evelyn, Emily, Alexander, John, Nathan Big and Nathan Little, where are you all? Come gather around me here one last time. Join me in this area. Gaius, get in here. Come on. Because I like having you here. Because, get this, you are kids in this big, huge world, and you are kids full of big, huge people. Every time we have coffee hour, I notice all these people standing around, like, towering over. over you. And there you are, looking up at everybody, breaking your necks, having to see people, and you can't quite see them in the face, so you just look them in the kneecaps and, you know, make a pretty good conversation. And sometimes it feels like you don't belong, or you're extra, or people don't notice you. And when we gather here in this nice little circle, we get to notice each other, we get to see each other. And I'm noticing that you're not here. I notice when I miss you. Because here's the thing. You're actually important to me. It's not just that I'm the big important person. You're important to me. I think of you. I think of you all as my kids. Sometimes that will happen for a long time. There are kids who used to be my kids, and now they're parents. There are some of my church campers who used to be teenagers, and now they're district superintendents. One of them is my district superintendent. She used to be one of my camp kids. And you know what? You'll always be my kids. It doesn't matter how old you are or how far away I am. You'll still be important to me because you're important to God. Sometimes we feel so small. We feel like I'm not really important in this whole big world. But you are. You matter to God. And God is so glad that you're here. And unlike me, God can be right with you right now. So we just have to imagine how close we are, because we're looking at this on some computer screen or something like that. But God is right there, right with you. And the good news is God never forgets you or goes away with you, from you, because you are so important to God. So now it's time to say goodbye. I'm not going to be your pastor anymore. I will be somebody who used to be your pastor once. But you'll always be my kids. I win. So I think we should say thank you and goodbye. Should we do that? Let's all hold hands around this circle that goes all across New England and maybe even as far as New Jersey and maybe even farther than that. And let's pray, God, thank you for holding us all in your love. God, thank you for holding us all in your love. Amen. Thank you for holding me.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. If God is for us, who is against us? God, who did not withhold their own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will they not with Christ also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, and who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. A word from God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Psalter today is Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O God of all the universe! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Holy One. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. At your altars, O God, my ruler and my love. Happy are those whose strength is in you. As they journey through life, they go from strength to strength. O Holy One, God of the universe, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For God is a sun and shield who bestows favor and honor. No good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. O God of the universe, happy is everyone who trusts in you. The Word of Life.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel, the 9th and 10th chapters. Jesus went about through the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the realm of heaven, and curing every disease and sickness. As he saw the crowds, he looked on them with compassion because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the owner of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. And Jesus gathered his 12, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. And he sent them out. And he gave them these instructions. As you go, proclaim the good news that the realm of heaven is here. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. So now we come to that moment where, like the disciples being sent out without Jesus, for a couple of weeks, you'll be sent out without a pastor. I'll be moving. Jenny will be moving in. And you'll just have to find the Holy Spirit in your midst to help you tell that story, proclaim that good news. Now, a lot of people would say that what it means to proclaim the good news of heaven is to talk about what you believe. It's not what Jesus did. What he did was he lived out what he believed. It's a story, and what we do is we tell that story with our whole lives. That's what I've been trying to do, hoping to do in my ministry as I stand here at the end of 9 years at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church and at the end of 40 years as a Methodist minister. But the story is older than that. This is the Book of Discipline of the Methodist Episcopal Church of 1880, and inscribed on the inside, barely visible in this elegant 18th, 19th century handwriting, it says, E. M. Holmes, Indianola, Iowa. That would be Edmund Meek Holmes, my great-grandfather, who was a Methodist minister. And his son, Merrill, my grandfather, was a Methodist minister. And his son, Robert, my dad, was a Methodist minister. And here I am, another Methodist minister. But the story is even older than that, because Enos Holmes, Edmund's grandfather, was a Methodist minister. In between was Jacob Meek Holmes. He was a gunsmith. I'm not sure how he got in this story. So this story has been going on since Enos was ordained in 1835, although you could say the story is even older because it goes all the way back to Reverend Obadiah Holmes, who came over from Manchester, England in the 1620s, settled in Boston, and had the distinction of being whipped at the whipping post at the Boston Meeting House for starting his own church. I come from such good stock. So that's been a tradition that goes back 130, 185 years. I can't say much about the first 145 years, but I could reflect on a little bit of the last 40 years. I went to seminary at Pacific School of Religion in Berkeley, California, where I met Beth and fell in love with her. So after that, when I finished, graduated from seminary, she was taking off to do an internship in Minneapolis at a retreat center and a children's hospital, and I found myself moving to Minneapolis. And I worked there as a counselor as a residential treatment center for adolescent girls involved in prostitution. These are kids 13, 18 years old. And what I discovered is that they all had the same story. They had been victims of every kind of abuse. They had grown up learning that they were bad little girls. They experienced that what was normal was that they would be used. And that was the story they lived in. And so that's the story they lived. They were bad little girls who were used. I began to learn about family systems, the way each of us is born into a family that has a story. And we play a particular role in that story that's assigned to us. We don't get to pick it. And we learn to get along and to fit in by doing whatever we have to do to fit into that story. So we couldn't just tell these kids that they needed to change. They had no way of writing a completely new story. What we had to do was we had to live out a story in which they were precious and beloved, and they had dignity and power, and they were not here to be used. And we had to live out that story and believe that story and tell it believingly enough and long enough that they believed it. And then they could write themselves a new story. Then they could change. That is the story of the gospel. We're all born into this story that we think is about how we're inadequate. And we live out that story. We do our best to try to earn our belonging in this universe by selling whatever we can sell in order to make ourselves fit in, not realizing that we already do. And God has a totally different story in mind. It's a story of our belovedness. It's a story of God's grace. And God tells that story over and over until we believe it. And when we believe that story, then we're set free from that story of our inadequacy, and we can live a different story. That's what it means to say that we're saved by faith. Not that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and therefore you're rewarded with salvation, but you trust this new story that sets you free from the old story, and you're saved from it. And then you can repent and live a new life, which we keep doing, and it keeps going on. And that story of God's grace and our redemption goes on and on. I learned the story of the gospel before I ever served in a church from a bunch of teenage prostitutes. I get Jesus. At the end of that year, we got married, went back. Beth finished her last year of seminary, and I worked in my first Methodist churches, two churches in Hayward, California, where I was the minister of visitation in both of them. And what I did was drive around and visit people who were shut-ins and listen to their stories and discovered that we are our stories, not just an individual in a point of time. We're a whole story. I also worked at Lafayette Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Lafayette, California, with the senior pastor, Stan Smith, who is watching right now. Hi, Stan. So cool. I did the youth group at that church. I was the youth pastor, but I also preached two or three times that year. And the first time I preached, Stan said, "Have you ever worn a robe?" I'd never worn a robe in worship, leading, or preaching. He said that I should try it out just to see what it felt like. Didn't instruct me, just said, try it out. So he loaned me one of his robes, and I did. And you know what? Ever since that moment, I've always worn a robe in worship. Because when I put on a robe, I experience the symbolism that as personal as it is to preach and lead worship, it's not about me. I have put on Christ. I represent the whole great long line of people who tell the story of God's grace. I belong to that whole story. It's not just me. It's all of us. And that's true even if you're not an ordained clergy. If you're baptized, you are a minister of the gospel. You have put on Christ, and your life is actually the story of God's grace. Thanks, Dan. 1981, we moved to Whitehall, Montana, and I was appointed to this little tiny cowboy church in which they were all cowboys, and I was this hippie from Berkeley, California. Even though I'd grown up in Montana, they looked at me pretty weird, and it took a while for both of us to learn that if you sit down and listen to people's stories, you could end up loving each other. Because however different your stories are, they're part of a bigger story that you belong to in unison. During that time, Beth, who was actually Lutheran, was looking for a Lutheran church. It kept on not working out. The Methodists were begging and pleading. And finally, she took two churches in Boulder and Clancy, 60 miles away over the Continental Divide. Between the two of us, we had all three Methodist churches in Jefferson County. I was really tempted to take her out to lunch every now and then and write it off on my taxes as a meeting of the Jefferson County Methodist Clergy Association. I never did. But you know, watching her drive over the Continental Divide Sunday after Sunday, winter blizzard after blizzard, pregnant with our first child, and watching her bring that child into this world. He's also watching, by the way. Hi, Dan. I learned that people's stories are more heroic than you can imagine. They've gone through more than you know. Count on that. In 1983, we were appointed together to this little church, Community United Methodist Church, in Big Fork, Montana, where we started in this little church with 100 people in worship, bursting at the seams to get out of this building that they had built with their own hands. Lloyd and Arnie could tell you how they started in one corner working around the joists and met in the other corner right over the organ. And what they wanted to do with that church that they had built with their own hands was tear it down and build a new one. And that's what they did, because they understood that the story that we have is a story that is never going to change, but it's a story about being changed. We have a tradition, but it's a tradition of transformation. And every chapter in the story is a new chapter. So they weren't afraid to tear down that church that they themselves had built and start over. Every Tuesday, I would go up the hill and do a Bible study with Patty Brown at the nursing home up the top of the hill. She'd play the piano and I'd do the songs, lead the singing, and we sang these tattered old songs from this tattered old songbook They were these old camp meeting songs about the blood of Jesus that I did not like. Ah, some through the fire, some through the flood, some through the water, but all through the blood. Oh, God leads his dear children along. I hated those songs. But those were the old songs that they liked to sing because they were that old. These were people who had been born in the 1800s. They'd lived through World War I and the flu epidemic and World War II, and they'd gone all the way from horse and buggy to computers. They had seen everything, and they'd lost everything. These are people who had lost their houses, their spouses, their livelihoods, their physical abilities, and half of their mental capacity. And there they were singing these songs. They were still at it. They were singing those songs after 100 years. And I realized those songs were their songs. God had brought them along. Some through the fire, some through the flood, some through the water, but all through the blood. I love that song. When you listen to people's stories, you find out that their stories brings them along. Patty Brown asked me if I'd seen Ella's obituary when she died. I hadn't. All I knew of Ella is that she sat in a wheelchair drooling on her knees. Till I read the obituary. Ella, in the prime of her life, was a trick rider in the rodeo. She did all these amazing things, and the climax of her show is they would strap a cowboy, spread-eagled to a wagon wheel, put balloons in between his arms and legs, and spin it around, and she would ride by on a horse and shoot out the balloons. My little Ella in a wheelchair? Yeah, you don't know somebody's story till you hear it. So hear it. Now, every person, really, and especially every pastor, needs spiritual teachers, which is why I married Beth. She was my spiritual teacher. But more than most people, I needed extra help. So God sent me three more spiritual teachers. Daniel and Aaron and Jonathan. And those three boys made me learn how to be a better dad. That was a great spiritual discipline. And they're still my spiritual teachers. Dan and Aaron and Jonathan, thank you. I love you. You're good teachers. In 1993, Beth was, at this point, not working at Big Fork Church anymore. She was teaching a women's theology course. She was getting trained in spiritual direction. She was leading retreats. And I was appointed to another church, First United Methodist Church in Missoula, Montana, where there was a big, huge downtown church, deeply conflicted. They fought about everything. There was this big, long, not very attractive sanctuary. And I talked about maybe the possibility that what would happen if we moved the worship space from the end of this long room to the middle and put a semicircle of chairs around, got rid of the pews, and we were all kind of snuggled in and felt more worshipful. And boy, oh boy, did they ever fight about that. They liked to fight at that church. Most of what they fought about was the pastor. Are you for the pastor or against the pastor? We had to teach them how to use words, how to talk about stuff instead of just fighting about it. But I was really puzzled why they were so attached to this sanctuary. It was not attractive at all till I learned their story. Turned out that 30-some years ago, they'd had this marvelous, architecturally miraculous sanctuary that had been there for decades. And people would come from a distance to see it because it was so cool, and they were starting to outgrow it. And some guy just decided that it was time to change and modernize, and within a very short time, he had decided to put the program in place and made it happen. And they tore down a wall, expanded the sanctuary, got rid of every sign of the old thing, and boom, there it happened. And it was exceedingly hurtful for all those people who felt like something had been done to them. And then I realized, oh, it's not that they're attached to this sanctuary. They're terrified of the thought of a sanctuary changing because it's going to be painful. Because they didn't know their own story. They had no clue that that was the story they were telling. It was a story of pain and betrayal and powerlessness and distrust and conflict. And until you know the story that you're telling, you can't tell a new one. So they kept telling the old story. One source of peace in that was some people who did know the story. One of whom was somebody who had been a friend, actually, Nita Smith, an organist who was in Butte when I was in Whitehall over the Continental Divide. And there she was again, my hero, my soulmate, my organist. And she would hold me up and she would keep me straight and she would kick me in the butt sometimes. She would help me deal with this crazy church. She and some other folks, Linda and folks like that, who helped me stay on board. But the real change came after I'd been there about 4 years. September, the Sunday school director quit. The church went into a panic because Sunday school's about to start and nobody's in charge. And Pastor Beth said, "Do not be afraid." And she stepped in, took over the Sunday school, and made miracles happen. They redid the Sunday school wing. They got 60 people involved in teaching Sunday school, rewrote new curriculum. And the kids in her fifth grade Sunday school class raised $6,000 for a Heber Project ark. One of the things they did was they made Noah's Ark vests and sold them a fabric very much like this. Little stories, Bible stories. Well, it was such a miraculous success that the whole church said, "Beth, can we just hire you for permanent?" And Beth said, no, if you have me, it won't be as a Sunday school superintendent. It will be as a pastor." And they said, "Okay." So she was appointed with me, and we were co-pastors there. And things really started to change, and the story of that church started to evolve. And then the cabinet appointed Beth to another church in Billings, Montana. And she followed a founding pastor who had been there 17 years. And she said, "Don't they need an interim, somebody who's just here for a year or so to kind of jar them loose from where they've been, and then they can go on?" The cabinet said, "No, you've got this." Well, that church was more stuck than any church I've ever seen because they didn't have a story. There was no once upon a time and then. It was just, there we are. Nothing could change. They needed an interim, all right. Meanwhile, I didn't have a church, but I found a job as the campus pastor at Montana State University, Billings. This is a state school. They hadn't had a campus ministry program for a year, so I was a complete stranger, serving at the church that was the rival school of the college where I had gone, and my dad had been a chaplain just down the road. It was kind of weird. I discovered you can come into your own story 25 years later in a different way, and it's a different story. Well, in September, classes started up, and this new kid was just getting going, and on September 11th, 2001, the World Trade Center was attacked. Middle of that morning, the university president called me up and said, "I know this is a state school, but we got to have a worship service. You got to do it at noon in the atrium of the student center in the middle of campus. Can you be there?" I said, "Absolutely." And I learned that the world needs our story. The world won't always ask as obviously as that secular campus president did. But the world is begging for our story. Look at the stories around us, the stories of climate degradation, of racism and white supremacy and police brutality and poverty and the pandemic, all of these stories. And people are trying to make sense of it. We've got a story. It's not just for us. It's for the world. In 2002... we moved, and Ruth came. And everything fell apart. And we were appointed together at Bow Mills United Methodist Church in Bow, New Hampshire. Little tiny church of 100 people, bursting at the seams, not fitting, wanting to grow. And
I talked about the possibility of maybe changing around the sanctuary, because it was a very peculiar sanctuary. It was not really very workable, but we made it work. And I was curious about it, especially when I found out that they used to worship for decades down at the WCTU hall in the valley at the bottom of the hill where the church now was. And when I saw photographs of that old room at the second floor of the WCTU hall and their new church, they were exactly the same. And I thought, if they built a new church, why didn't they build a new church? Why didn't they just replicate the old one? That's weird. Until I learned their story. They had been through decades of life-threatening incidents. And one time after another, it seemed like that was the end of the church. And they would somehow scrape by. And then the interstate came in. And the interchange right where 93 stems off into 89, that little interchange right there, that's where the church building was. It was condemned. The WCTU hall was torn down. And some people said, well, okay, that's the end of our church. But a few people said, we've been here for over 100 years. There's no reason not to keep going. We've got a story to tell. So let's just keep on going as if nothing ever happened. So they went up to the top of the hill, rebuilt that exact same room, and went on right as if nothing had happened. Now, that was a bad design choice. But can you see how their story gave them staying power? They didn't have to stay stuck, but they were able to stay because they were part of a story. And it gave them the kind of courage that not long after we got there, guess what they did? They took out the pews, they moved the worship center to the middle of this long skinny room, and they put a semicircle of chairs around, and it was very cozy and beautiful, and it's still there to this day, and they love it. Because they had a story, and they knew what that story was. And then, in 2011, we moved once more, and I was appointed as the pastor of St. Matthew's United Methodist Church in Acton, Massachusetts. And here I came, a pastor with over 31 years of experience, wise, knowledgeable, and I walked in this door and I knew nothing. I still haven't figured out why. But nothing that used to work, worked here. Things never went the way they used to go. I had to learn how to do everything all over again. Everything I thought I knew, I didn't quite exactly know. I had to learn everything all over again. And so this church taught me, and I taught this church, and we all just kind of learned with each other and stumbled with each other, and you tolerated me being a slow learner, and we all kind of made our way through over these 9 years, because that's the story. It's a story of being set free and transformed. It's a story about starting over. It's a story about God's grace. It's not about me. It's not even about all of us. It's about the entire universe. So here we are, right at the end of one chapter, which in Christian tradition is always the beginning of another chapter. Notice that. Read those Bible stories from the day of creation to the last book of Revelation seen in the New Jerusalem. Every Bible story ends with, and then another story starts. So we come to the end of this story, these 9 years. These 40 years, these 185 years, but it's not an end, because it's an unending story. It's always unfinished. There is more that we have to live out of God's life-changing story. So now, we enter a new chapter. Once upon a time, you tell me. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your unending grace that sets us free and transforms us, that joins us together, that gives us authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to cure every disease, to cleanse the lepers, to proclaim the good news that the empire of your grace is here. Bless us that we might believe that story and live it out new every day. God of grace, we thank you for your love. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen. These candles burn for all of our prayers that come in, and there are many. Hear these prayers from one another. Irene Taylor prays. This week she found out her boss friend, Sandy Russell, was diagnosed with breast cancer. Keep her and her son, Noah, in your prayers. God, may your mercy be with Sandy and Noah. Maureen prays prayers for Sarah's boss, Steve Lepke, as he recovers from a stroke at Spalding. God, your blessing be with Steve. Judith Ann Keen prays for her cousin Sheila Lauer, who is not doing well after suffering from severe burns and a stroke. God, may your mercy unfold. A prayer that Steve and Beth will have a long and happy retirement. From Susan and from Maggie, Kathy Lee offers up a prayer for Louise Conboy, whose son died of cancer this week. God, surround Louise with your mercy. Adia offers up her love. God bless Adia. Karen Quist prays for those who have been essential workers and to those who are starting to return to work, for God's grace for them. Francisca prays for a happy and peaceful retirement for Beth and Steve. Maureen prays that Beth and Steve will continue to walk with us in our journeys, hoping that they will know that we will always be there with them. Andrea lifts up two prayers. One for her step-niece, Jen, whose husband passed away this week, and one for her back to fully recover from recurring spasms. Donna Yost prays for her boyfriend, Stephen, Ruthie prays for her boyfriend, Stephen, who is getting ACL surgery this Wednesday. Donna and her boyfriend, Ed, are still together. Thank God. The Perrine family prays for Pastor Steve and Beth as they start their new story. God bless Jared and Abby and Eden and Griffin and Barron. Peter prays for people of color who are exhausted. May they feel the strength and peace and love of Christ. God, we pray that truly the empire of your grace will overthrow the empire of our selfishness and violence, our self-doubt and inadequacy, our fear and our greed, for the healing of the earth, for the healing of racism, for the healing that we all need in this time of this virus, for the healing of our souls. We open our hearts to your grace. God, we lift up silently and aloud all of those who we hold in our hearts. May your will be done in their lives. Amen. I'm going to sing. We're figuring it out. A musical prayer. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all the world. Give me Jesus. I heard my mama say, oh, I heard my mama say, I heard my mama say, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, you can have all the world. Give me Jesus. When it comes my time to die, when it comes my time to die, oh, when it comes my time to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all the world, you can have all the world, you can have all the world. Give me Jesus. Amen.
We pray for one another in this church and all the members of the body of Christ, that we may be a church full of your love and strengthened by your Spirit, passionate for justice and willing to follow Jesus. May your grace be our guide. We pray for all who are hurting in this world, for the sick and those in prison, for those who are poor or silenced or neglected or abused. We pray for healing for all who are touched by the pandemic. We open our hearts to the suffering of the world, that we may bring healing where there is brokenness. May your love be our delight. We pray for peace in the world. We pray for our nation, that we may see ourselves clearly and repent of our racism and violence. We pray for true freedom, safety, and dignity for Black lives, and for all those who are excluded, abused, dehumanized, or oppressed. May your justice be our mission. In this time of transition, we pray that we remember our anchor in Christ and in the caring love of our St. Matthew's community. Pastors Steve and Beth have taught us well about being the body of Christ. They have provided leadership and guidance through some challenging times and some blessed times. We are grateful for the lessons they have shared with us and grateful for their companionship on this faith journey. We wish Beth and Steve peace, joy, and love as they navigate this next life adventure together. We pray too for Pastor Janu, his wife Haywan, and son Joshua as they journey from Maine to Massachusetts, that God's love and care surround them. Help us to find new ways to get to know Pastor Janu in this time of pandemic, to learn the lessons he has to share with us, to discover the gifts that we have to share with each other, and to welcome Pastor Janu and his family to the St. Matthew's community. In all things, we pray for the faith to seek your will and to do it. In the name of Christ, and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father. Our Father,
Father,
in heaven.
The story is the story of God's grace. The story that Jesus lived out. The story that gives us deep peace. Peace with ourselves. Peace with one another. Peace with all the world. Peace with God. The peace that we are given to share with all creation. The peace of Christ be with you. Imagine the peace of Christ flowing out from you into all the world, and all the world with delight returning to you. The peace of Christ. It's just one song after another here. I'm in heaven. This is the part I don't want to retire from. Way back in 1978, Beth was in charge of a worship service for incoming students at the seminary. She asked if I would sing a song for that worship service, and I said, sure. She said, the theme was journeys. And I thought, cool. The day before that service, I thought, wait, I don't know any song about journeys. I guess I'll have to write one. This is pretty much the first song I ever wrote, at least for church. So it's kind of fun to go out and sing it one last time. I'm on the road like everyone, but the journey is all mine. Sometimes like a lost dog lonely, sometimes like a butterfly fine. Oh, a place may seem like home or not, and friends may let me down, but I always know you're with me, even when you're not around. I don't need much but some shoes and a song, and an apple or two or three. Sometimes I carry your love along, sometimes it carries me. I am not alone. I am not alone. I am not alone. For love is the journey. I see you're on the road as well, with a heavy load to bear. I can't promise I'll be strong or fast, but I promise I'll be there. A burden big enough for two is precious weight to bear. I'll split the load and you find the road, and you'll race and you'll beat me there. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. For love the journey. Oh, when the road seems too rough to be yours, it's a desert and you long for a single voice to say you're going right. Though I may be distant, pause and think of me, for I believe now look at your shadow. There should be two. We travel together till the road itself starts singing our very own song. Tell me your dreams and I'll tell you mine, and it soon becomes a prayer. Half the pain and
twice the joy, three times the life to share. We travel together till the road itself starts singing our very own song. And we turn and we look, and even when we're lost, it was God walking with us all along. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone. For love is the journey. Sing with me. We are not alone. Dearly beloved, people of St. Matthew's, God has raised Christ from the dead and seated Christ at God's right hand in the heavenly place, above all rule and authority, power and dominion. God has made Christ the head over all things for the church, which is Christ's body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all.
We are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We are called to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God, and to proclaim the good news of God's love for all creation.
People of St. Matthew's, you are called by God to worship and serve God in the name of Christ, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to heal the broken, to resist evil, injustice, and depression in whatever forms they present themselves, and to join Jesus in living out the realm of God's grace.
Pastor Steve, you are called by God and appointed by the bishop to lead St. Matthew's in prayer and worship, in love and service, in justice and transformation.
People of St. Matthew's, you have done well. You have grown in faith and love, in prayer and service. You have respected me, you have loved each other, and you have followed Jesus. Now, it is time for me to leave you and give you over to new leadership. I thank you for your love and companionship in this journey as we follow Jesus. For all the ways you may have fallen short, I forgive you. For all the ways I have fallen short, I ask your forgiveness.
Pastor Steve, we thank you for your leadership. We trust all you have done has been with the will to serve and lead us well. For all the ways we may have failed, we ask your forgiveness. For all the ways you may have failed us, we forgive you.
By the authority of Christ, whose infinite love sets us all free, I declare and proclaim all our sins entirely and completely forgiven. We are free to go forward, led by the Holy Spirit for the sake of the well-being of the world.
We celebrate our years together and the wonders God has brought about among us. Now we look to the future.
Today, I surrender my role as your leader. We are yoked together as companions of Jesus. From now on, I will be your friend,
but not your pastor. I gladly hand over care of your souls and care of St. Matthew's Church to Jesus Christ and to Jinu Chun, whom God has called and the bishop has appointed as your new pastor.
We release you as our pastor. We will grieve, but we will gladly turn to Jinu as our new shepherd. We give thanks for the grace of God. We trust Jesus walks with us. We open our hearts to the Holy Spirit as we enter the future.
God of grace, bless us as we go our separate ways. Watch over us, guard us, and guide us. Walk with us and be our light. May your Holy Spirit give us love and courage, mercy and joy all our days. Amen and Alleluia.
The following is a video of thanksgiving for Pastor Steve's ministry at St. Matthew's. Just as we shared a video for Pastor Beth Garnet Holmes in April, this is a shortened version. The full version will be available for you on the church website, as well as the video created for Beth. Thank you.
Hello, Steve and Beth. Let me give you a little view of what retirement looks like. Very peaceful. So wishing you and Beth the best. Happy retirement. This is what life's going to look like in retirement. Absolutely perfect. Enjoy.
I want to thank you, Pastor Steve, for your past 9 years of spiritual leadership at St. Matthew's. The Shahnemans will always, always remember with deep gratitude your comfort and support during Keith's battle with cancer. I know that you and Beth will enjoy the next chapter of your lives. Peace be with you.
Hi, Pastor Steve and Pastor Beth. Thank you for being in our lives the last 6 years we've been going to the church. We couldn't possibly thank you enough, and we wish you all the best in your retirement.
I don't have much to add, but thank you for making St. Matthew such a welcoming place and a loving place. We've learned a lot from both of you and really enjoyed being part of this family, and obviously we will continue. And we wish you all the best.
We love you both so much. And I just want to thank Pastor Steve especially for guiding me through confirmation and opening my mind to new perspectives about life and the Bible and my faith in general.
Thank you, Pastor Steve and Pastor Beth.
Hi, Steve. Just wanted to take a minute to say thank you so much for all you've done from the congregation, from leading the way of Jesus and all of your sermons, your children's time, all of your wisdom and leadership. We're really going to miss you and Beth, and we wish you the best in retirement.
Hi, Steve. It's so nice to meet somebody as authentic as yourself and bring me back into the fold. Have a great time.
God, I thank you for our pastor as we send him on the way. Steve has brought us love and music, poetry with every day. Theological reflection, sermons to acoustic, all perfection. Blessings be with Beth and Steve, grant them grace and harmony. Amen.
Hey, Steve. Thank you for all the work that you've done for the church, the things that you've done throughout the years that you've been with us. I really appreciate that. And I hope that you have a good time in retirement. I think your creativity will do you well in retirement. You'll probably have a lot of fun in retirement. At least I hope so. So you and Beth both, I should include Beth in this. Do enjoy your retirement, and thank you again for everything that both of you have done. Thanks much.
Steve,
Thank you for the learning, the laughter, and the message of God's constant love you have shared with us for 9 years. I will most remember you in these words as they continue to guide me. I do not have all the gifts, but what I need I have because you are in me. Thank you. Godspeed to you and Beth. Lynn.
So if there's one thing you wanted to give Pastor Steve and Beth, what would you give them?
Maybe a card or a gift card.
Okay, so if you could wave a magic wand, you'd give them a card or a gift card. Well, what about you, Ben?
A really nice car,
like a Ferrari. And what about you, Zuki?
A dog.
A dog? You wave a magic wand and give them a dog.
Maybe a
doge. Those are wonderful gifts, gentlemen. All right. Thank you, Steve and Beth, for everything you've done for us. We love you both very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Steve. Cal Armistead here. Whew. Well, I think we met about 5 years ago. From that first day, I thought, I like this guy. I like his vibe. I like his personality and his energy. I thought, this is a kindred spirit. You will be terribly missed, my kindred spirit. And I wish you all the best. Love you very much. Bye.
Everyone brings different talents to the table. But you, sir, bring so many talents. You are a rare one, Pastor Steve. Who knew that when you came as our new pastor... We also got an accomplished thespian, a musician, a composer, a poet, a child whisperer, and a social justice advocate. Thank you for reminding us that God is inside of us. That knowledge empowers us to go out in the world and be mindful of doing kind, good things. When we think of the great times that are ahead for you in your retirement in Maine, to quote someone we respect, admire, and love,
whoa!
I'm Jim McPhee.
And I'm Kevin Butler.
We've been around St. Matt for about the last year.
So it was really a wonderful surprise to see you visit me at the hospital. Thank you, Steve.
And for me, being a United Methodist pastor for almost 40 years, it's been so nice to have a pastor in you, Steve, instead of being the pastor. We are so gifted by your creativity, your deep reflection, and all the ways that you are truly led by the Spirit. We commend retirement to you and Beth. May you continue to be blessed.
I love you, Pastor Steve. See you in heaven.
Hi, Steve. This is Eric. Kathy, Tristan, Charlotte, and I would really like to thank you for having been such a wonderful pastor these last few years. You were incredibly welcoming, both you and Beth. So thank you for everything, and we will certainly miss you very much. Best wishes.
Hi, Steve. You know I'm terrible at saying goodbyes. All I can say is thank you for the geeky times where we shared astronomy, for picking up wood from the woodpile, for the many hours in your office where you just accepted me where I was in my wanders, in my searching. You'll be missed, but every memory is a treasure. And I send you forth, you and Beth, with love and gratitude.
Steve, I wrote this poem to let you know how I feel about you. Entertainer and preacher extraordinaire, together that makes a most wonderful pair. Songwriter and teacher,
quite a long time, makes him the favorite preacher of mine. He's taught me about God's unending love and how God is among us, not just above. He's held classes so we could all discuss about sharing and spreading our love like Jesus. He's truly a man of very great faith. Our friend and our mentor, Pastor Steve G.H. So now from us, Beth and he will depart. We'll all feel a loss in the depths of our heart. But we thank God for all the good times that we've had and know that this isn't the right time to be sad. Therefore, in love and with gratitude, we say, go with God and be blessed as you go on your way.
Hi, Stephen Beth. It's so hard to say goodbye to you. I'm going to miss you so much. I truly appreciate all the gifts that you brought to St. Matthew's that you shared with all of us. I am eternally grateful for both of you helping me to rediscover my faith and help me along my journey. So thank you. God be with you. We will miss you terribly. I am so glad you came into our lives. Thank you.
Hey, Pastor Steve. Just wanted to say thank you so much for being our pastor for so many years at St. Matthew's. Really appreciate it, and certainly we're incredibly fortunate to have you as our pastor. One of my favorite things that you used to do or have done is to play the guitar and sing in church. That's, I think, out of all the things, that is my most fond memory. So hope all goes well with retirement. Enjoy. Keep the adventure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We love you.
Hi, Beth and Steve. Thank you for everything. We've loved having you here in Acton the last 9 years. We wish you the best and hope you have fun in Maine.
Hi, Steve and Beth. We'll certainly miss you. Have fun in Maine.
Wanted to tell you how grateful I am that I've known you. You've been a wonderful guide and have helped me connect to God and myself in a way that was unknown to me before. Your sermons and stories have taught me how much God loves me and that love is endless and it's the only thing that matters. I love you and I wish you and Beth a wonderful retirement. Be well, my friend. I will miss you. Bye.
Bye.
Pastor. Thanks for everything, Steve.
Thank you for
being. Bye. We'll miss you.
Have fun in Maine.
Thank you very much for all your service.
I love you, Pastor Steve. Thanks for being our pastor.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Thank you for all.
Steve, I'm afraid that words alone cannot express my love for you and my gratitude for all that you've done. First and foremost, you have helped me deeply on my own spiritual journey, making the change from an intellectual focus on the church to a deeper understanding of what it means to follow Jesus, to embrace and to support social justice, and to make prayer and spirituality a part of my life. As teacher and guide, bless you and thank you. You've been an inspiration in service, not just in your sermons, but in the entirety of the worship experience. Your children's moments are divine, your blessings full of grace, and a focus on our prayers inspirational and moving. As pastor, bless you and thank you. I wish you and Beth nothing but joy and health in the next stage of your life journey. Enjoy it, embrace it, and love it.
Pastor Steve, how can we even begin to offer our gratitude to you and acknowledge all you've brought to us in the St. Matthew's community? So here's to your thoughtfulness, your creativity, your generosity, your immense dedication to your calling and your vocation. Thank you for sharing that with all of us and making us better for it and for giving us the gift of facilitating our faith on this journey each of us are on. Wishing you all the best in the next chapter and excited to keep you close to us as we continue forward.
Hey Steve, it's the Logue family. I want to thank you so much for everything you've done, not just for the church, but for each one of us individually. You've had a great impact on all of our lives the past couple of years, and we truly can't thank you enough for what you've done for us.
Hey Steve, Kevin here. Hey, thanks a lot for everything you've done for the church and for our family, especially the boys' baptism and also their confirmation, and particularly, you know, being there for us when I was in the hospital and spending time with Carmen on that day. It really meant a lot to me and to the family as well. Best of luck and have a great time up in Maine.
Hey Steve, it's Carmen. Thanks. I have great memories of serving on STRC with you. And also, I think the thing that I will treasure the most is the day that you came to see me while Kevin was in recovery. That cup of tea was just what I needed. Thank you.
Steve, I just want to thank you for guiding me through my confirmation progress and, of course, always being an exciting presence every Sunday.
Good luck, Steve.
Hey, Pastor Steve. I wanted to make sure that I got my chance to say goodbye to you. I wish I could have been in person. I'm really going to miss you and all the fun and our conversations and everything. It's been so, so awesome. I definitely want to make sure that we keep in touch and know that I'm really going to miss you and all the joy that you've brought to the congregation.
Thank you, Pastor Steve and Beth,
for planting the seeds of faith in our community.
The day will soon come when it's time for you to part. There's so much I'd like to say, I hardly know where to start. You shared your songs and your poems with your love of God professing. In gratitude, I sing to you this song, Old Irish Blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. The sun shine warm upon your face. The rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, May God hold you in the palm of his hand. The peace of Christ go with you and Beth now and always.
Hi, Pastor Steve. Just wanted to say thank you for you always being an awesome pastor and having the story just like if you're really personal. Thank you.
Thank you for being so kind and warming to all of us. We'll miss you.
And thank you. You've made church an amazing experience for us. I love your story. I love the joy and the love that you bring to St. Matthew's and to each of us, and you always make us feel so welcome. Thank you for everything. We love you.
Hi, Steve and Beth. Thanks so much for all you've done for St. Matthew's. We'll miss you a lot. Hope you have a great time in Maine, and we hope you come back and visit. Bye.
Hi, Pastor Steve. I just really wanted to thank you so much for always having confidence in my abilities, and I think that applies to the whole congregation. I remember the first time I was acolyting, the first time I was worship leading, I was really nervous, but you definitely reassured me and had faith in me. So thank you so much for everything, Steve.
Hi, Pastor Steve. Thank you for being a great pastor all these years, and I've always really enjoyed listening to your sermons and stories. Good luck in retirement.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for 9 years of beautiful sermons and music and poetry. We will miss you very much.
Hi, Steve. I want to thank you for all the many times that you led me to think about things that I needed to be thinking about. I've appreciated you and still do, and we'll miss you. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye.
Steve.
Bye.
Bye.
In the beginning, there was love, and a pastor that knew in his soul the love that was in the beginning. It guides him and empowers him to reach out to the poor, to the abused, and to the wealthy. It moves him to stand up for justice, to resist racism, sexism, and materialism, to stand with immigrants, and to befriend prisoners. It fills his heart with joy that connects with all ages, that overflows in his creative spirit and brings an obstacle course to the sanctuary. In the end, there was a pastor who spent his life walking with love, who I am blessed to have walked with, who will be missed but never forgotten. Thank you, Steve, for your ministry with us.
So we're not over yet. I have some announcements. First, there will be a goodbye coffee hour after the service and after worship, and the password is, as it has been, coffee hour, all one word. We also have programmed a Zoom goodbye party for tomorrow night, Monday night, at 7 p.m. The link is on the website, and the password is goodbye. And it's all lowercase with a hyphen between good and by, and it's B-Y-E at the end. And then we have scheduled a drive-by and tailgate goodbye at 3 p.m. this afternoon to celebrate Pastor Steve and Beth and to say our final goodbyes. Additionally, there will be a church council meeting Tuesday night. We will be discussing reinstalling the Black Lives Matter sign in our front lawn. And there will also be a virtual movie screening of the movie 13th on June 16th from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. The Anti-Racism Ecumenical Collaborative, led by Josh Lund Whitler, or AEC, will begin meeting. They have a book group, and we'll be reading The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. And that's beginning Tuesday, June 23rd, and will be held every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. And there are details in the weekly news. And then we can't let people go without celebrating them and sharing some gifts. So we have some gifts to present to Beth and Steve. Now the hard part. Do I just say what they are? We have in a small little bag on the table is cards with a check of gratitude from the entire congregation. There is also a book filled with photographs and memories from every member of the congregation that's been put together by Chris Callahan, and that is also on the table. There is a poster prepared by our youth, and that is in front of the table. And I understand that there is a painting or a photograph of the our church window with the peace dove that was just brought in this morning. And then, if you would, we also have prayer shawls for each of you. The blue and purple one is for Beth, and the beige one is for Steve. And if you would put those on now, we'd like to use those as part of our tradition of laying on hands when people were being sent into the world. And if you place those shawls on as our symbol of our warmth and love for you, and stand forward here.
While you're gathering, I want to mention this is not a photograph. Jim Kay painted this. And all what looks like little scratches on the sides, you know what that is? That's every single one of your names. They're all there. And if you doubt it, call me up and I'll tell you where it is. It's pretty amazing.
So Beth and Steve, you have made us your companions in Christ. You have shared the lessons of the way of Jesus. And we pray that the journey before you is full of love and grace. Know that when the path is difficult and a challenge is before you, our prayers are with you. Our hope is with you. Our love is with you. We ask God's blessing on your lives in this next great adventure. May the Holy Spirit fill your hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Shall we sing one last time?
May the peace and grace of Christ be with you, my friends. Go and share the love of God, love that never ends.
Dearly beloved, siblings in Christ, the story of God's grace is not over. There are still lives to change in all the world. You know the story. Remember it. Live it. Go in peace. Serve God with joy. Amen.
Thank you.